Why, hello, friends. You're listening to the Tabletop Tales, stories told collectively around, well, the table. I am the Melody Keeper, an archivist of song and legend. I am in the middle of a story right now. It is known as The Quest for the Best Song. In our last movement of this story, Crispin Whisperix blessed us with a mystifying song at the foot of nature's lyre. Unbeknownst to our heroes, the lyre had been broken, and a terrible veiled voice lures them onwards over the black cliffs of soot. What land lies over those cliffs? Our Willa blazed the course ahead for the party. There's an arena just north. If we follow this path and we head north, we can get to Arena Negras.
And if the dwarves themselves forged this lyre, perhaps we can find them at Magmaten to repair the two pieces.
Ooh.
I like the way you're thinking, Willem.
Only one way to find out. I grab the reins of my zebra and head down the tunnel.
You guys go down this seemingly endless lit hallway as finally you see a light at the end of the tunnel. The doors open.
What do we see?
You see a sign that says Arenas Negras to the north, and then you see a sign that says Mag Mountain to the left, and then you see a little sign over here that says Mount Cordon.
Can we see Mount Cordon from where we're standing?
It's literally right in front of you, yeah.
Oh.
And it's this massive mountain that has a active volcano in it.
Cool.
We head north.
So you head north to the arena. As you head north through the arena, there's like a small little shack with like what looks like some shops outside of it, kind of like a little like traveler's shop, and it has a big sign on it that has potions, pickaxes, like things you would need in a hot environment.
I say, I feel a little unequipped going into this arena. It sounds like we're gonna have to have the best stuff, so. I think I'm going to stop by one of those shops and see what they have.
Sure. Right behind you.
Nice. You get closer and closer to the like shop, and there's like, you see like people outside,
mm-hmm.
but as you get closer and closer, you see these dwarves that have been turned to stone.
Oh, ooh. Heavy frown sets over Glonk's face as I examine all these people and walk through them.
What happened here?
I look around and search and see if I can find anything, what's inside the building.
It seems pretty looted, but you find a potion of heat resistance.
Cool.
As well as some shovels and some pickaxes, if you would like.
I take the potion, and I think I already have a shovel, honestly.
There's a dwarven shovel.
Mm.
And there's a dwarven pickaxe. They look different, and they're better.
All right, I take both of those things, then.
Was this kind of like definitely like the last kind of thing until the arena area that
yeah,
we saw?
It's like a little stop.
I look around the shop for anything shiny because I'm wanting to get my holy symbol back. I gave it to Sandra.
Roll a d20.
19!
So you can make out kind of in the corner, there's like black soot that's kind of over a bunch of stuff on the desk, but you see this like shimmer kind of flash out of the corner of your eye as you're walking through the little shack.
I walk over to the shimmer
and kind of sift through everything, just try to see what it is.
Yeah, you pick it up and recognize it has the holy crest of a dwarven god. It's a bronze anvil.
Sick. Can I roll to see if I know anything about this god?
Sure. Give me a religion check.
10.
So you can tell that this crest belongs to a dwarven god, but it was a long, long time ago, back before they started worshiping Natura and built the shrine to her. You can't remember the god's name, but as you look at it, you feel this courage inside of you that wasn't there before.
Oh, man. I take a breath, and it feels more clear than usual, and I put it back in my backpack.
We shouldn't dwell here for long. I feel uneasy.
Cool.
Let's get to the arena.
So you get further and further north, and the closer and closer you get to the arena, you start seeing more and more dwarves and more people that have been turned to stone.
We haven't run into any actual people.
No actual people.
Just stone.
It is, yes, just stone. And then as you get closer and closer to the arena, so this giant black stone coliseum with this storm over it. And yeah, there, it's just like you see a bunch of stone humanoids and dwarves and everything outside. And it's eerily quiet aside from the storm.
Y'all think this is it? I draw my swords and approach the arena.
Yeah, I follow.
You go in one of the archways, and now you are on the main level of the arena where the sand is, and you see four major pillars. And as you go in and stand in the center of the arena, you kind of look around and there's a bunch of turned to stone audience members. There's also warriors, too, that have also been made to stone.
Oh, shit.
A lot, though, have been, like, busted and broken, but you can see, like, the remnants of them. Like, some of them have their arms broken off, but they still stand. Some are on the ground, crumbling. But there's one that's, like, still intact, and it's one of the biggest ones. And it's wielding a trident and net.
I walk into the middle of the arena, and I shout,
Hand of the Frost Mage, we're here for you.
You see from where the king would sit, this guy in his black cloak walk up and goes,
Well, told you I'd see you guys here. I just knew you guys would find this place.
Your crimes against this kingdom and against these enchanted artifacts are too many.
Yeah, and what you gonna do about it, huh?
Rain down hell upon you.
We need the other half of that lyre.
Ah, you mean this?
Kind of raises up the front half, like the neck and headstock of the lyre.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Perfect answer, because you're going to have to go through my buddy here.
Your buddy?
My friend here. You see, I turned all these people to stone, and, now I have control of this one.
He kind of just snaps his fingers as this massive 8-foot-tall orc gladiator of stone, as these rock arms, one wielding a trident, one wielding this net, start to just loosen up as he becomes sentient again.
But he's still rock?
He's still rock. And then he goes,
Well, boys, I'm going to wade right in. And, I'll pick up your good stuff when you die. So, all right, get him, boy.
I look between the two of them and realize that there's not really a way for me to attack the cloak guy. And so I turn and face the stone orc.
Roll for initiative!
I got a 22 for my initiative.
I got a 14.
19.
I got a 7.
All right. It is Glonk's turn.
Cool. I sheath my swords and pull out the pickaxe, the dwarven pickaxe.
Hell yeah.
And sprint towards the rock orc and try to just stick the pickaxe into his chest.
Cool. So roll to hit.
So that's 23.
Yeah, that hits.
Mm-hmm. 1. Son of a bitch.
So what you do is you run up there, charging at this stone orc that's a foot taller than you, and you take your two-handed dwarven pickaxe and you give it a nice swing, as it just barely scrapes the right side of his cheek and just cheek, as you just get a nice little pebble out of his cheek, dealing one damage.
So then I duck and roll around the side to be hidden back up against the pillar.
Okay, nice.
Seth! Your turn.
I am going to cast True Strike to see what's going on there.
So you find out that the stone orc takes double damage from bludgeoning items.
Which we have none of.
I've got a staff.
Cool. Yeah, I end my turn.
We're going to go over to Willow.
I look around the arena and I see all the cheering fans.
Silently cheering.
and inspired by the spectacle, I wild shape into a lion.
Nice.
And I use my pounce, and I have pack tactics. So if I have an ally within 5 feet, I have advantage on attack rolls.
That's sick.
I know. Not great. Not much better. 13.
So you go at him with a claw attack.
Yeah.
But your claws couldn't cut deep enough into his thick stone skin. As you see like a flint and steel flash happen off his skin as he takes no damage.
Mm-hmm.
You're right in front of the guy. He goes,
that was a nice try there, boy.
I look up at him and I give him a little hiss.
It's Orc Boy's turn.
Hit me.
He turns around as he takes his trident and just lunges it straight at you.
Did you roll a one?
Yeah, so the orc rolls a one, and in going after you, he thrusts his trident so far that it hits the cloaked, mysterious man behind him.
30 feet up?
Yeah, it slips out of his hand, hits him, dealing...
That's amazing.
4 damage.
Watch where you're throwing that thing, you brute.
We're going to go over to Crispin.
I cast Hold Person on the stone gladiator.
You cast Hold Person and he attempts to resist the spell. Damn, your magic causes his stone legs to lock in place as he stops moving.
And then I cast 1 split Bardic Inspiration,
yeah.
1 to Willub and 1 to Glonk, somehow winking at both of them at the same time.
Nice, so great. Both Willub and Glonk have 1d8 of Bardic Inspiration. Cool, so now we're gonna go over to Glonk.
So I'm inspired by Crispin's wink and I pull out the Drum of the Hero and give it a huge slam so everyone can hear it. Then I peek around the column at the stone orc that's frozen in place and I just sprint at it. And I try to jump, kick it, and knock it over on its face.
Okay.
Make a strength check.
18.
So you kick him in the back of the head as he bends to his knees and falls into the sand.
So then I roll off of him back around to where I was.
Seth.
I'm going to cast Magic Missile, but just send all 3 missiles at the column next to the stone orc.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you launch 3 magic missiles. Pew, pew, pew. Roll for damage.
2, 3, and a 2. Damn. Bad rolls.
Okay, so the missiles all hit the column, and you see this cloud of rubble and dust.
Wow, nice.
But they don't cut all the way through, so the top half of the column is now kind of balancing precariously over the orc.
Damn, so close.
So, yeah, that ends my turn.
Nice. Willib's turn.
All right, so I look up at the masked man. How high up did you say his platform was?
It's like 30 feet.
Okay, I turn around and run backwards 10 feet, then skid to a stop, spin around, and start charging back towards the platform. So when I'm in my lion form, I have a running leap ability where if I have a 10-foot running start, I can jump 25 feet up into the air.
Wow.
So I'm going to try and jump and like reach and claw on to clamber up. Here I go.
All right, make an athletics check.
Come on.
19.
Yeah. Yeah, so you latch on by the hairier claws.
Okay, so I pull myself up.
And he is just startled that you've gotten up here.
So I'm looking him now in the face as I pull myself over the side of the platform. And as I sort of tumble into the platform, I rake my claw down his chest.
Nice. Roll a d20.
1.
Hey.
But I'm halfling lucky, so it lets me re-roll it. 3. But, okay, hold on. Plus 3 from the claw attack.
Plus 2.
Plus 2 from the Drum of the Hero. Plus Bardic Inspiration is 1d8. That's 7. So 15.
It hits!
Yeah! Nice.
From a 3 to a 15.
Wow.
Hey, thanks, guys.
It hits. You slash him, dealing
8. As I'm going in for the slash, I go into a barbarian rage so that I
rack it up.
Add 2 extra bonus to my 8. So damn. I hit a 10.
You just shred across his black cloak.
Ah!
Great.
Dealing 10 damage to him as he drops the half of the lyre down onto the sand below.
So you think you're tough, do you? Well, allow me to show you how strong the Frost Mage really is.
As he takes his magic and just blasts you back. And then you can see that he lost some of his magic power over the orc. As you see a lot of his rocks start to like molten off of him.
Ooh.
And now it's the orc's turn. Crispin, what do I have to roll to break your hold person spell?
14. You gotta beat 14.
Brick! Got a 6.
Nice.
All right, it's still trapped in this hold as we switch over to Crispin.
Crispin gets a wild look in his eye, and lightning bolts just start to, like in his eyes.
You have destroyed a beautiful, lovely artifact, a musical instrument at that. And I told you that we were going to rain hellfire on you. I shoot him with lightning.
He laughs at you.
Damn.
As this lightning sails through the air and hits him, he still is laughing. As he takes half damage. As he then looks over at Glonk for his turn.
Great. I whip out from behind the column and do a jump, leap, and crash both of my swords down on the back of the neck of the orc.
Yes!
20.
Okay. Yo, so the orc is on the ground.
So I'm going to do both my swords twice.
Yes.
Plus one of my swords an extra time.
Yes.
Plus the sneak attack.
Yes.
Yep.
32 damage.
Go!
Glonk goes at him from behind as he's just now starting to get out of this hold person. And comes in just screaming as he slams both of his swords directly into his chest cavity, creating a crater of rock and rubble around him, dealing 32 damage as the orc just releases a pebbles, rocks, boulders, everything flying out of him as he is just absolutely in rubble. And he gets back up, but he's really like wobbly. Seth, you're up.
All right, I fire 3 more magic missiles, all at the same part of the column that I hit before, dealing 12 damage this time.
The missiles shoot through the air toward the column and slam into it one by one. And as the last one hits, you see the top of the column start to lean forward as it crumbles apart, falling down onto the stone wall, crushing him, dealing 23 damage.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
As the orc lifts his hand over to the cloaked mage that's up there, and then it just drops limp as it is sitting there lifeless. As nice. You have successfully killed the stone orc, nice. You look over to the mage and goes,
"Well, looks like you guys are stronger than you look, but I'm not worried. We'll meet again. I'll find you.
And then he just disappears.
Damn it.
Did he take the lyre? Is it still there?
And you notice that the other half of the lyre is there.
I grab it in my mouth and I drop it down to Crispin.
You drop it down to Crispin. Crispin catches it.
Does anything happen to the stone people? Are they still stone?
So people are still stone, man.
Yeah, okay.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? It's Drew here, also known as Seth, but I'm going to quickly tell you about our Patreon, which is by far the best way to support this podcast and help keep it going. Here's some perks that you'll get with our Patreon. Okay, so for $2, you get your name at the end of one of our movements, and it gives you access to our Discord. Also, all the original scores available to listen when each episode comes out. And there's a lot of extra content, like the Valanguardian newspaper that has like plot hints and medieval recipes, deleted scenes, and original maps or character sheets from the sessions. So if you're looking for a way to support us and help keep this podcast going, please check out our Patreon. Okay, thanks.
I look back at the dwarf to my right, still frozen, kind of concerned. Was hoping that his disappearance would lift a magic, but it didn't.
Mm. I cast Detect Magic to see if I can see what kind of magic this is and if there's like some way to reverse it.
You reach out with your mind and sense a dark demonic magic emanating from all of the stone figures in the arena. It doesn't feel like any kind of magic you've sensed in Harborne before. It feels like it's actually coming from another world.
Mm.
Whoa.
You also notice 5 runes that radiate a different kind of magic. The runes are dwarvish, and they appear to be a message left by someone trying to guide you.
I cast Comprehend Languages.
Yeah, you cast Comprehend Languages, and you piece together that each of the runes is a letter. And it spells out Forge.
Say, there's a dark curse placed over all these dwarves. It seems to have a demonic origin from another world. A world of blight.
Maybe we need to go to this world of blight to reverse this magic?
I think you might be onto something, Seth. But first, I think we should go to the forge to repair this beautiful lyre. It seems like somebody's trying to guide us there.
How do we get there?
I shapeshift back into a halfling, and I pull out my maps, and I say, well, if we're headed to the Great Forge, it's south and then west. So we leave the arena and head south?
Nice, you leave the arena of silent cheering fans to the silent open road, and you start heading down south towards Magmaten. You get closer and closer to Magmaten as you see the big Magmaten gates that are outside the city start to appear in front of you. You get inside, and you see an entire town that was once lively turned to stone. All the vendors turned to stone. All the guardsmen and guardswomen turned to stone. The birds turned to stone midair. As you kind of turn and look up, you see this giant forge carved out of the side of Mount Cordon. And there are a bunch of like huts and stuff around carved out of the mountain.
I pick up a stone bird.
I walk towards the forge.
It's eerily quiet as you climb up the giant steps of the forge and walk through the legs of this huge stone statue of a dwarven forge keeper. And you approach the massive doors to the Great Forge and find them wide open.
I'm amazed at the size and the craftsmanship of the stonework. I've never seen anything like this, but determined I head into the forge.
You walk inside, you get to this point where it now starts to descend deeper into the mountain, deeper into the core of this volcano. And as you get to this great forge area where there's like big, massive machines, mechanical workings that are all dormant, you see in the center this floating dwarf in this robe that's almost put himself into a slumber in this ball of magic. He's just like floating there.
I walk up and put my hand on the bubble.
I put my hand on the bubble.
I put my hand on the bubble.
I also put my hands on the bubble.
All four of you put your hands on the bubble. And as this dwarf starts to get lower to the ground, then he's kind of just getting his wits about him, getting up and goes,
ah, so the prophecy is true. Gentlemen, my name is DuPont.
Wow.
He says, what are your names, heroes?
Dawkins.
I'm Willib. Willib Willowbelly.
Crispin Wishparrox.
And I'm Seth.
It is just like the prophecy described. We haven't much time. The Frost Mage, his power is getting stronger and stronger. I can feel it.
Excuse me, Mr. DuPont. What happened to everybody out there?
He sent a servant, a cloaked man, in a mask. He used the Frost Mage powers to turn all life in this region into stone.
The hand of the Frost Mage.
Oh, yeah.
He came in and turned this entire town to stone. He was trying to stop us from showing you how to use the forge. However, I was able to seal myself in a magic not even the Frost Mage could crack. For it required the four heroes to place their hands on this ward to break.
That was a lucky guess.
So I took a gamble as I finally awakened to see all of you here in my chambers.
Almighty DuPont.
Yes, Crispin.
I personally have so many questions to ask you. But first and foremost, that beats upon my breast is about this beautiful, beautiful enchanted lyre that we have. It's torn in two. We are in need of a great forge keeper.
You've come to the right place. The Dwarven Forge is the greatest forge in all the land. It was given to us by the gods themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Able to craft anything back into one that was once broken in two. However, we come into a slight problem with that exactly. The forge hasn't been up and running in quite some time. You see, the forge needs a Sturmstein to work. Are you familiar with these Sturmsteins?
No.
What is that?
Sturmstein. Say, that was in a book.
Yes, I wrote a book on it.
Yes, my heavens.
Do you have my book?
I do. I have so many of your books. I have a whole library of them. Do you think? No.
Go ahead, Crispin.
Would you sign them for me?
Oh, well, it would be my pleasure and my duty as server of this realm.
He pulls out his quill
his inkwell. Dap, 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 dap. And then just proceeds to sign them. All of them.
Thank you so much. These have been so helpful as a guide through our quest and...
Dupont, it's like you've been leading us here all along.
Yes, I've written many books in preparation for this prophecy to be completed. As fate would have it, the gods are on our side.
I feel courage from the dwarven holy symbol again.
Well, gentlemen, we need a Sturmstein.
Yes. What exactly is a Sturmstein?
It is a stone, immense energy, immense power.
Where can we find one of these Sturmsteins?
That is what I fear most. You'll need to open up that book over there. He kind of points over there. There's this massive book bound in chain. DuPont goes over to it, puts his hand over it, mumbles something. And then you see the lock open, and then the chains slink off like a snake. Mm. And the book opens up as if wind was blowing from one side. It like blows the pages open to this big page that says, Blighted World.
Gasp.
Gentlemen, long ago, a demon known as the Conqueror opened a great rift in Harborn, a portal to another world. He used it to wage war on our world. But our ancestors from long ago drove his demon army back into the rift and closed it, preventing the Conqueror from returning. Years later, the Seven Sages reopened the rift to finally see what was on the other side. They found that the world had been deserted by the army of demons, but their old fortress and the land around it had been all corrupted by the dark magic. With the land now abandoned, some of Valengard's citizens began to travel through the portal to colonize that old demon fortress. But that wasn't all they found there. They found a quarry full of these Sturmsteins and discovered that the stones could be used to power the Great Forge itself. So we would send expeditions of dwarves through the rift to retrieve these stones and bring them back to Magmartin. This went on for thousands of years until dwarves began disappearing from the expeditions. We lost some great men. Nobody knew what became of them. They simply vanished. But the dwarves are bold, and still more traveled in to receive Sturmsteins to power the forge. But every expedition, one or two, would not return.
Oh, no.
They knew that their duty was to get to Sturmstein to keep this forge going, for it is the life and breadth of Magmartin. Mm.
Eventually, I decided it couldn't be worth the lives we were losing, so I commanded that these expeditions cease, and I allow the Great Forge to grow cold. But now, Nature's lyre must be repaired, and one final expedition to the Sturmstein quarry must be made in order to complete the prophecy. But now, a strange dark storm rages over the quarry. Nobody knows the source of this storm. It is unlike anything we have ever seen. In fact, an astronomer recently entered the rift in order to study the phenomenon for himself. Regardless of the storm's origin, it will make your expedition much, much more dangerous.
We can handle it.
Bring me back a Sturmstein, and I can piece together anything that's broken.
Where's the entrance?
See that page that's opened up to the Blighted World?
Mm.
It opens up a portal that puts you slightly outside the city down there, Xalathax.
Mm.
On the Blighted Peak, you can overlook Xalathax. Get a lay of the land. I would suggest you leave at once.
I draw my swords and say, I'm ready. Send us on.
He goes over to the book again and kind of like holds his hands over it and mumbles something. This big black portal just... opens up over the book.
I walk straight in.
We walk through. Crispin turns around and shouts over the roaring of the portal. Thank you, DuPont! We will return to you!
You're welcome, Crispin! Quick, we haven't much time! Don't forget the stein!
I walk up to the portal and feel like a vibrating thing from my backpack and realize that the star fragment's kind of like shaking again. Mm. And I kind of like hesitate and then I step in.
DuPont kind of gives it like a furrowed brow look at you and sees what's in your hand, and then you get pulled in, and then the portal closes as you get beamed into the Blighted World.
Hmm.
There is no flock my old friend DuPont will not tend to. I am glad these heroes have finally met him. If you are enjoying this story as much as I am, please help me reach other guests like you by sharing this podcast with your friends and rating or reviewing us. You can follow The Tabletop Tales on Instagram and Reddit at @_thetabletoptales, on Twitter at @_thetabletop, on Facebook at The Tabletop Tales, or you can just visit our website, www.thetabletoptales.com. If you would like to be known by name by the Melody Keeper and become a part of this podcast, or would like to partake in Dear Harbonian treasures, like curated recipes, songs from our world that have not yet been heard, or even untold stories that appear to have been lost, I suggest you look further upon our Patreon page, where many exciting Harbonian treasures await you. Find it at patreon.com/thetabletoptales. Now, in this movement, our dungeon master was John Fusner. Seth was played by Drew Baumel. Crispin Whisperix was played by Chris Chaput. Glonk Dawkins was played by Cam Marigold. Willow Willowbelly was played by Kyle McCann. Additional voices by Chris Chaput and John Fusner. Sound editing by Kyle McCann and Cam Marigold. Sound design by Kyle McCann. Movement mixing by Drew Baumel. Score mixing by Cam Marigold. Original score by Christopher Chaput and John Fusner. We'll see you next time at the tabletop.